Goodness, how many times have we heard that parable? I'm sure many, many times for most of us in this room. One that has, we've heard many sermons on, one that's certainly given us some insight for our walk in life. I recently read a listing, real estate listing for a home. Now, I would invite you to imagine this as I share it with you. The description given, the first part of the description, it said, beautifully renovated four-bedroom, two-bath home, 3,000 square feet. New flooring, fresh paint, recently installed windows and doors, completely remodeled kitchen and bathrooms, and a new heating and air conditioning system. And the pictures that went along with this listing, oh, they were gorgeous. Gorgeous rooms and tastefully done. A very attractive home that seemed to have all the newest of trendy features, you know, in it. And of course, in a listing like that, there was not a hint that it was not an undesirable home or that it would be unsound in its construction. No, the people want you to be ready to purchase this home. But when I looked further into the details, I read that the renovation included the installation of 37 piers that and that everything down to the studs had been removed and then replaced, which means that these piers, they are the things upon which the foundation rested. Now, the thing is, this was a slab foundation. So it had to be dug underneath to install these piers. A highly expensive venture, to say the least. And it was a shoring up. It was really a complete renovation, not only of the home, but its foundation, so that it would be solid. Apparently, it was on the verge of collapse before. Jesus says here in Matthew 7, that without building on his words, we can expect catastrophe. That life will fall apart. That we'll suddenly find ourselves without strength. So let's revisit his timely advice for us. I hope you have your Bibles with you and that you'll open to Matthew 7. And we'll go to verse 24 to begin there. This is a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Many have said that this represents the greatest teaching that has ever been shared. Frankly, some have said that Jesus could have stopped with the sharing of the Sermon on the Mount, and that would have been enough. So great and insightful and meaningful is his teaching. Jesus has been teaching, and this toward Matthew 7 certainly puts us, especially verses 24 following, puts us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He begins this portion of his teaching with this, therefore. Everything that's come before now leads to this, is what therefore tells us. That what comes next is grounded on what he has shared. There's been a number of parables and teachings and statements made and shared. And then he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. Pretty audacious. For in doing so, he's talking, yes, about the whole sermon, but he's also alluding to the fact that his words come with a special authority. They come with a special insight. They are his words. They are definitive. And where others may have pointed to the will of God in their teaching, Jesus is saying, this is the will of God. That he fulfills God's law, not just teaches it. In fact, in his, and we may see this later in the series, but within the Sermon on the Mount, you know, he says, you have heard it said. He says, but then he adds, but I say unto you. In other words, what I say now, what I'm saying to you now, has greater authority. And it was always a raising of the bar. It was never lowering the bar. And Jesus fulfilled his teaching because not only did he teach it, he lived it out. You could see it as a living example. And what we find here in his Sermon on the Mount are the various elements, the portions and pieces that will go, that when they come together, make for a sure and strong foundation. But the best of ingredients, the best of elements, the best of construction material is only good if it is used. And so he adds, and puts them into practice. You hear his words and you put them into practice. Jesus doesn't give us some esoteric theory. He doesn't give us some enlightened philosophy, some mystery, but that is only useful for maybe some highly enlightened people. But no, it's his teachings are very practical. They can be applied to life readily. To practice means to execute, to implement. And in the previous illustration, Jesus contrasts saying with doing. Here in this portion of his sermon, he is contrasting hearing and doing. It was his brother James who later wrote in his letter to the churches that echoed Jesus' words. He said, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Sometimes we kind of act like Jesus' word is a suggestion. And it's not. It is a directive. It's not unkind, but it can be firm. And the standard is set. And maybe there are some aspects of Jesus' teaching that we have simply only listened to it, but we've not applied it. And we probably will look at some of those later. But again, it's his brother James who wrote, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, until you apply it, it's not really faith. It's just a good idea. Because you're not trusting in his word until you apply it. Each time we act upon one of his teachings, it's like adding a stone or a batch of concrete or a segment of steel rebar in the foundation of our lives. And all of them come together to form that unified, coherent foundation. Like any good and strong foundation, there's more to the teaching that we need to grasp to know and experience the life that Jesus has intended us to live and experience. It's obvious here that Jesus, in this particular portion, contrasts the two builders, isn't it? You've got the one builder that has made careful consideration of the quality of material and the proper assembly. And he's been sure to dig deep. He hasn't finished digging out until he reaches rock to put his foundation upon. And that's hard work. The other builder was not so forward-looking. He threw down what he thought would be a good enough foundation. But you see, the problem comes that Jesus gives us something to consider here. He says that both of them built in the floodplain. Both of them. The region is kind of like ours in some respects. It's known for its rare cloudbursts that turn dry stream beds into rushing torrents. And sometimes they surpass their banks and they spread out across, and you're awakened sometimes, or you're suddenly aware of this wall of water. Not unlike our New Mexico arroyos. But in the midst of this, on this floodplain was built a house that could withstand such a storm. The other didn't. Which here is a point we want to be sure to perceive. We don't want to miss this point in this story that Jesus gives us. You see, one of the points here is that it is quite certain that there will be a storm. There will be a storm. And it'll be a lulu. Becky's and my first, it was day after we were trying to move into the parsonage at Stinnett. And there was a storm. I stood on the doorstep watching the tornado form, probably about a mile away. The violent updraft was amazing. And it rained hard, and it hailed. And the storm moved south, and then it moved a little west south of us, and then it came back. And it rained and hailed hard again, so that we were on the slope of a hill, and the water came running down the hill, the street that ran east-west that was just on the north side of the parsonage there. And then all that water that was coming made a turn at our flower bed. And it ran south, further down the hill. The swimming pool, the public swimming pool, was at the bottom of the hill. They hadn't filled it yet. But it got filled that afternoon. And then some person thought that it'd be a wise idea. They had new pumps in the pool. They'll just pump all that water out. Well, all that dirt and rock and grime, so much for those new pumps. But that was an amazing thing to see, all that water. We were from curb to curb. We were just blessed that for some reason, maybe it was because some person had looked ahead and realized, well, if we don't build this curb higher, then all that water is going to go into this house. So they had done that, and it just was just enough that it turned it all to the south. And fortunately, we didn't have to do much cleanup from that. Storms come. They happen. No one is immune to a storm or a series of storms in their lives. Somehow, sometime, storms of crisis will break in on us. And the what keeps us from being torn away and flung down the torrent is the foundation upon which we've built. Have we built our lives wisely on the strong and true foundation? Time is a test. Last week we were, of course, out and about, and we were driving between Tama and Pagosa Springs, and as we drove along the highway there, I noticed the remains of a building. I think it had been a cabin. And the roof had caved in. The sides were all, the timbers were all a splinter. They were just a jumble. And a question came to my mind. I wondered, who heard the crash? Who heard the crash? Did someone catch that moment when everything finally gave way and the building fell in? Did they hear the sound of its demise? Maybe you've heard the crash of somebody else's life. Maybe you've heard the creaking and the groaning in your own. Maybe you have experienced the crash in your life. Because the tests come. Sooner or later, all of us experience them. And the question is, will our foundation hold? What have we built upon? Jesus teaches us upon what to build and how to craft a sure foundation. And while Jesus was giving instruction for individuals or maybe even families, he was also teaching us to apply this to all of us as a community, as a church. Peter eloquently captured this when he said in his first letter to the churches. They were in Cappadocia and they were experiencing a terrible time of testing. And he wrote them, "When you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." I hope you see the depth of what is being said here. Yes, we are dependent upon him as the rock upon which our foundation is built, but there's something else about it, that we are also dependent upon one another. Each of us as living stones are dependent upon the other. For one stone to give way, for one stone to be taken out or to leave, weakens the whole building. It places more stresses on other parts of the building. Christian communities, like individual lives or buildings, can go a long time looking just fine. Everything's good. From the outside, things are really great. But then there are really, truly signs, if we look a little closer, that failure, though slow in coming, is coming. The rock wall in front of our home, Spit's not very tall, it's a short thing, but we're going to have to do something here one of these days because it's starting to fall apart. I mean, it's not unusual to come home and see another, stone, rock, fall out on the sidewalk. It's not like you put chewing gum on the inside of it and put it back. When the cracks begin to emerge in the wall or the ceiling, it's time to do more than just pay attention. It's time to address things, to repair them and make them strong again. And I'm sure that as we revisit this great sermon that Jesus has shared with us, we're going to be looking at some of those things that help us to appreciate not only the relevance of what Jesus, who Jesus is and what he taught, but also how we can strengthen our walls and our foundation. We'll see his teaching supplies us not only with good location, but upon the bedrock, but gives us mortar that holds us together over vast stretches of time. This morning we were witnesses to the Bridgewaters seeking to build their family upon the strong foundation of Jesus and his teaching. The liturgy asks, will you nurture lavender lily in Christ's holy church? The church that's established and built upon the rock that is Christ Jesus. And we as that church are called to help them and build Lavender's life's foundation on Christ so that she may be a vital part of this spiritual house. We can't if we ourselves are faithful and we will put Jesus' teachings in our daily lives if we apply them. Now the thing is about Jesus' teachings, they are radical. They require strenuous effort, just like digging down to solid rock to lay a good foundation. It takes great effort and it requires intense focus. And it says that in these vows that each of us helps bear the weight and the stresses of life, her life, their life, and our life. But friends, in doing so, it changes everything. It can even change the world. So this morning, do you see some sign of weakness in your life foundation? Where are the stresses that have resulted in cracks? Do you notice the cracks? Do you practice that kind of self-awareness? Going, ooh, that's a point of weakness. I'm seeing it there. Do you sense some instability in places? Uncertainty? Well, Jesus offers you and I a way to renovate, to build upon his unmovable foundation. Please, this morning, receive his gracious invitation to allow him to help you build your life anew. One that's solid, one that withstands the storms that come, and they will come. He offers each of us the opportunity to be wise and not foolish, to build upon him. What have you been building on? Really? Build upon Christ, our solid rock. Come to him. Confess that you've been trying to build on something else, or you've been oblivious. But say to him, I want to build my life on you. Let us pray. Oh, Jesus, you are our rock and our refuge. We give you thanks. It is obvious that you have withstood the test of time, that those who have placed their faith in you, their lives have remained standing regardless of the stresses and the things that have happened. Oh Lord, we come to you this morning seeking you and what you can teach us and share with us that will enable us to stand. And so we pray in your name.